Our topic of today is how to bring youth to God in spite of the attractions of society. How to bring youth to God in spite of the attractions of society. And I think as an introduction, the most important thing that youth want to experience and to feel can be pleasure or different types of pleasures and ego. These are the two keys. They want to feel happy, pleased, satisfied, joyful. This is the first thing. And the second thing is that they want to feel that they are here, they are participating, they are satisfying the sense of self-esteem. They are not marginalized, they are not canceled. In my guessing, I guess we can have four channels to have the youth inside the church. First, it came as peace. First, the personal touch. Second, the prayer. Three, the preaching. Fourth, the participation. I think if we fulfill these four conditions, we can have our young people inside the church. First, the personal touch. Second, the praying, the power of prayers. Third, the preaching, that's the word of God, when it touches the heart and the will. And fourth, the participation. Is how the young people can contribute to the service of the Lord and how to feel the sense of belonging to their church and to their youth meeting and youth group. Concerning the personal touch, it can come through many ways. Through knowing his or her name. It's very difficult for a young man to deal with him as a number. He wants you to deal with him as a person, as something valuable in your heart. You must know his name and her name, and we deal with him as a person, not as one of the audience. No, he is precious by himself. She is precious by herself. The Lord taught us that when he said in John 10 that he knows his sheep name by name, and he calls each sheep by a special name. Knowing the name doesn't mean just the name as written in the ID, but it means that we know the name, the person, the circumstances, the general conditions, the family conditions, the needs, the concerns, the talents, the problems, the issues that such a person can offer. Therefore, it's a type of knowledge, and the knowledge cannot be at all achieved except through, the bond of love, or the unity through love. Therefore, we must know the name, circumstances, and also we must, this is the second point here, we must enter into a true unifying love with our young people, person by person, one by one. Now, this special love given to this soul will for sure be very beneficial to their lives, and can be the key to open his or her ear mind, heart, and will to this yukvarakar. Through love, they can heal you. They can give you an ear. And this is mentioned in St. Augustine's sayings. He says, nobody can be saved through you except those who love you. لا يخلص عن طريقك إلا من يحبك. Therefore we must give special love, personal love to this soul. It's a precious soul, he is a precious person, and we must deal with him accordingly. The third point is that there must be caring. Caring is not love, that's affections. I like you wherever you are pleasant and joyful and we can enjoy being together. No, there must be caring. That is practical love, explicit love. As you always hear, the friend indeed is the friend in need. Therefore, he needs you to stand with him in different occasions of life, especially the bad occasions or the periods of suffering and pain. He must feel that you are feeling with him and, you know, living the situation with him. This is what we notice from St. Paul. St. Paul was all the time weak when somebody is weak. And he up, you know, like when he finds some man yadhaf, wa ana la adhaf. Whenever he feels somebody is weak, he feels that as if this weakness were inside himself. He feels if this person is now born through certain sins, he is as if he were born with him. اذكروا المقيدين كأنكم مقيدين معهم والمذلين كأنكم أنتم في الجسد. If somebody were in jail, remember them as if you were in jail with them. Those who are frustrated and depressed by sin and by negative things, as if you were in flesh like them. This, you know, unifying yourself with the young person that you are serving. بيسموها في السوسيولوجي التوحد مع المخدوم. To feel that you are one with him, having in depth the same pains, sufferings, joys that he has. It comes also through visitations. Number four. We always like to meet dying people at the church, but it's better to meet them at home. It is unforgettable that if you visit this young man or young woman at home, this young person, for sure it will leave a very impressive and deep touch in his heart and mind and life. Go and search for them. This is exactly the methodology of the Lord. يفتش عن الخروف الضال. He is seeking for the lost sheep, for the prodigal son. He is searching. Even the father, as you remember in the prodigal son parable, was waiting and was looking. That's why he saw his son coming from afar. And he came down, he ran, and he hugged him and kissed him. This longing makes you go to your young people and visit them at home. Also, it can come even if you have no time, because I know the distance is here. It can come through the phone. This personal touch, that ring, and here is the headphone and starts to hear your voice. He will feel recharged. You will feel very pleased because you remember him personally. A listener. We remember that when we were very young. If you send him a letter or her a letter, if, you know, many of you, when they come to the faculty study, they start to leave their family. And sometimes they live in a different state. State as a geographically, and state, huh? Status. Different, much different. the life of the faculty in dorms and, you know, for sure, it's very frustrating to the people of God. The type of jobs, type of experiences, the behavior and conduct of young people around you, and you cannot, you know, you cannot cope with them, and you cannot isolate them from them. They need just a letter. They need just a letter. This doesn't mean that we want to, you know, suspend or hang the hearts of young people to our hearts and keep them, you know, as slaves to our love. No, no, this is not Christian at all. We want to raise them with us, with ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our love is just a link, just a bridge, just a channel to transfer the love of the Lord to his heart and his prayers to the Lord, and to keep him in contact with the Lord Jesus. Therefore, this personal touch is very important. I remember when I was just a deacon serving the youth in Beniswave, one of the young people was not from Beniswave. He came with his father for just 1 year. And there is some sort of a touch of love during the service. And then he left to Cairo, and after 2 years, I was astonished. Midnight, I found him knocking the door in Beniswave. I said, "Why? What occurred? You are coming in midnight. What's the problem?" He was weeping, and he told me that today, the first time in my life, my father, said many bad words to me, and he shouted Alam, slapped me, and I was annoyed. I went to Kobri Asr al-Nil, a bridge on the River Nile, and I was going to commit suicide. After reaching there, in a minute, I remembered you. After 2 years, I remembered you. I said, "Okay." I took the train and came to Beniswave to see you. "Therefore, your family doesn't know that you are here." He said, "Yes, they don't know. They are for sure now in big distress." He said, "Sure, they are in big distress. Okay, I phone your father and tell him that you are here." And I started to speak with him and to tell him that you are wrong in these things, and your father likes you, but you know, sometimes we are impatient, and so on. And we phoned his father, and he came back to his home the second day. But, you know, this touch of love probably was the way to change his mind, to find a window of hope in order not to commit suicide, or at least to go here or there to wicked the young people that he may be perished. Therefore, we need the touch of love. It's for sure impressive and influential for the service of the people, and not as an egocentric thing. Because the most important thing in our love is to be spiritual love, not only affectionate or emotional, and not to be ego-directed, but to be Christ-directed and oriented. The second channel for serving the youth is praying. And for sure, our prayers, when I myself as a youth worker pray, I am going to prepare myself, and the Holy Spirit can prepare the ground, the floor, that's the audience. And also God will give me and prepare the word to be uttered and to be mentioned. It's a threefold blessing to pray. You are going to be prepared to serve, the people will be ready to hear and to accept, and the word of God will be efficient and working. Therefore, we need to pray a lot. We need to lead a life of prayer in our personal life and in our meetings. And here I must say that in our meetings, let us pray with the young people in an impressive way, like we prayed this morning. ساعات نخش البايبل نخش الاستماع إليه يمكن دي ما عندنا كثير قوي في مصر كده يقول لك يا لنا الذي سمع ايات فالناس تسمع خيرا ولا واحد قال حاجه قالت يا تفتحوا في تكليف في بتاع ولا انتم يا تفتحوا الباب لان هيبقى حر في تكليف تاني ولا رجاء هي الرجاء بتاعنا في كل حاجه. You know, it's something scientific and experimental. If you pray, especially the Agveya prayer, loudly but in a spiritual way, the young people, number one, will concentrate because they are going to use three senses, not one sense. If they are going to read by their eyes, they are using just the sight. But if he is, you know, praying with me loudly, he will use his eye, his tongue and his ears, three senses, and therefore he will concentrate. Second thing, he will recite. Day after day, he will recite so many pieces of the prayer. And he will find enjoyment in praying them without the Agveya even, while in a bus and while, you know. And the third thing, it will be impressive spiritually, because as long as you are concentrating, for sure your heart will start to move. Therefore, prayers are very important. Sometimes we feel that young people don't like to pray. Yes, in the start. But once prayer starts, in the midst of prayer, he starts to, you know, to participate. And at the end of prayer, he'll feel peaceful and joyful because he prayed and he met the Lord and he was touched by the Holy Spirit. He sits down in peace and ready to hear the word of God. Therefore, let us pray in such a way that young people may come and join us in our prayers. Also, the meeting may end by a short prayer. Not good that once we finish, all leave their seats in a chaos. Now, why not to a very short prayer? It must not be long. was praying at the end of the meeting, and it was a very long prayer. And he started to say, "Oh God, we thank you. You are always kind and merciful. When you created Adam, Adam, and then when Abraham, and then when David Silver, and then one of the audience started to ask his friend, "Emta hayhallas?" قال له, "Leave him, he is preaching God." هو بيوعد ربنا سيبه. No, it's not a prayer. The prayer must be a genuine communication with the Lord, very briefly but very impressively. Having for sure giving the opportunity to everybody to lift up his heart to the Lord and come in contact with him, just to say very few words but very concentrated and impressive words for the benefit of their souls. Once I was in I mentioned them before, just to tell you how prayer can do with our young people without even serving them directly. يعني ربنا ممكن يشتغل بالصلاة من غير ما انت تعمل حاجة. Once كنت في ليلة أبو غلامسيس, you know, Apocalypse night, that's after the Good Friday. And before the Mass, you know, it's a full month, and then before the Mass started, I noticed two young people in front of me. I was a deacon at that time. And I asked them, who are you? And asked them concerning attending the youth meeting and so on. Then I was going to enter to have the Holy Communion. When I stood up, I felt something in my heart saying, why not to ask these two young people to come inside to the priest and confess? This is an excellent way to confess and to take the Holy Communion. You must ask him to do that. And then I was lazy enough, and I didn't do it. And I entered, what do you call it, temple?
Horus.
Horus. Horus, as you can hear, when I entered the Horus, I felt regret. Why I didn't tell them to come and confess and take the communion. Then I looked to the Lord saying, Lord Jesus, I know that I am lazy and I committed a mistake now, but you can convince me that you can work without me. Why not to have these two young people to come? You can ask them to come. And then I found the curtain moving and one came inside. I said, no, I said the truth. Then the second came. I knew from that time that our Lord is serving through prayer more than through our ministry and our work. Number three is the preaching. And you know, the many people doesn't like the word preaching, but I just put it as P. But preaching, I mean, the word of God touching the heart, the mind, and the will. It says in preaching, the best sermon is the one that leads the people to, that agitates the will of the audience. The best sermon is that sermon that agitates the will from the inside of the audience. And he comes out of the church saying, I will do this. I will confess. Yes, I must pray better than that. Yes, I start to read the Bible. Yes, starting from today. This is the best sermon, that it changes the world towards something good and beneficial. Therefore, we need in our sermons to the young people, number one, to be Christ-centric. Christ-centric. So yeah, it will be, we have St. Athanasius. Our St. Athanasius is the Christ defender. You can speak about the Lord Jesus Christ through St. Athanasius. Incarnation and so on, divinity. Now today our topic is concerning the candles. Light is a candle. Jesus Christ is a candle. And you can, through the candle, speak about the Lord Jesus, how he gave himself for our, on our behalf, how he redeemed us. Now we are going to speak about the Holy Mass and explain it, and the same thing, the Holy Mass, the main interest of the Holy Mass is to get us unified to the Lord. Therefore, let our lectures, our sermons, our studies, to be Christ-centric, even if we are speaking about doctrines, rituals, or even church history. Anything must be Christ-centric. Second thing is that let our sermons agitate the will of the young people to start something good, and it must end by some sort of an application, something to be applied in life. And the third thing, let our sermons be clear, classified, and the people that are fond of think what the preaching can be successful, they say the best sermon is the sermon that you can recite after الثانية لو كان للسعي. يطلع واحد مثلا بعد سماع الشباب يقول له كان ايه الموضوع؟ كان حاجة كده يعني عن ربنا حلو عن ربنا يعني ايه يعني كان بيقول ايه الاستاذ مثلا؟ يعني قال كلام حلو كتير يعني كلام قال نحب ربنا ونمشي كويس مع ربنا ونبطل خطية وحاجة حاجة كده يعني بيقولوا لا البست سيرمون اللي يطلع يقدر ايه ريسايدن يقول لك لا هو ده بيتكلم عن البيوريتي ولا هو قسمها ثلاث حاجات النيد الاوبستكل الاتشيفمنت طب انا ليه في النيد اصل كذا وكذا ليه الافكار واضحه في ذهن اللي بيتكلم things are clear ideas are clear in the mind of the speaker, therefore they were transmitted to the audience also clearly and they can transmit it to others also clearly. So these are the three features of the efficient sermon. One, Christ-centric. Two, agitate the will. Three, the audience can recite it after it ends. Four, to have some sort of dialogue within the sermon. Before, in the middle, after, as you want. But the dialogue, for sure, gets the people inside the sermon, clarifies some vague points, completes some points that are deficient in your speech, amends something wrong you mentioned, you know, gets the people at the level of the sermon, gets you to the level of the people. In a mother, I was in the monastery and some young people came from St. Mark College from Alexandria. الولاد من St. Mark's اسكندرية ولاد يعني ايه حاجة ارستقراط كده وصغيرين وبتاع وجم الدير. And one of the monks started to give them a lecture about spirituality. And he said, we must not ask the Lord for material things. Even we must not ask the Lord spiritual things. We must ask the Lord for himself. Something very marvelous, very good. But it was very high concerning these young people. After he finished this very high spiritual sermon, I was attending, I was wicked enough, being a youth worker before that, this is a very good sermon, but this is not the need and the level of these young children, young people around us. Then he asked them, any questions? Then واحد قال له, yes, father, الحب حرام ولا حلال? Love is good or right or wrong? فالتاني قال له, السينما حلال ولا حرام? I go to the cinema or not? And then the father, he came down and down to the level of these young people. Therefore, through dialogue, we can come to them and they come to the inside of the sermon or the topic to be discussed. Therefore, these are the four conditions for an efficient lesson. One, Christ-centric. Two, agitating the word. Three, we can be recite because the ideas are very clear. Four, having dialogue as a very important tool to reach to a common understanding. My last point is participation, and this was touched yesterday by some of the young people. Meaning Rifat, مش young, أوي Rifat.
Young man.
لكن لسه young يا بختك. لسه في الدايت. عندكم energy to serve the Lord. Now, participation is very, very, very important. If in Egypt is important one time, it's important here 100 times, because the type of education here encourages the young people to participate from the very start of their lives. Just to be brief, number one, it gives the sense of belonging. خلاص, but he's participant. He is not passive. He is not marginalized. He's participating, therefore he feels the sense of belonging. Two, it gives a better occupied time for a growth of these young people. They will be busy. Being occupied with something to do, something to write, something to work, for sure this will give them a good time, occupied by beneficial things and not to be, you know, the sign that kills the people because they have nothing to do. Three, it will give us the opportunity to utilize the talents around us. Through participation, many talents are going to come into the scene. Four, it increases the manpower. You are not going to work by yourself, you have a good team to work with you. And five, it can enlarge and widen the circle of our ministry. If I am serving by myself, I'll work through 30 people. If 10 are working with me, we can work in a circle of 300 people for sure. Therefore, it will widen the scope of our ministry and service and will give many other people to come to see the Lord and come in contact with our Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy with us the blessing of being a Christian, a true Christian in the Lord. And through these things they can participate with music, with plays, with exhibitions, with arts, with researches, in competitions, in sports, in scouts. We use them every year to issue a competition book for the country at large, and thousands participate, solving Bible study, making researches in certain church topics, so spiritual topics, sports and scouts and exhibitions and skits and so on. So many types of activities, and a key for the life of young people is competition. We must use their, you know, eagerness to compete and to succeed and to achieve something, a prize or so. This is not bad at all for young people, this is the only way for them. If you have these different types of competitions, you will give an area for them to participate and come and work. And then through these competitions they are going to grow. Probably somebody says, why you are not spending so much time after the end of August? Why not to stay for a week or so? I cannot, simply because through the will of God I'm going to leave Holland to Cairo. Second day is the start of something called the High School Students Festival. We start a festival for 10 days for the high school young people in Cairo. About 70 churches participate. All through the year they are studying theology, church history, Coptic language, church hymns, some culture and general knowledge, computer and so on. All through the year they are studying, and in these 10 days they start to compete. Different churches come to compete with each other, and within 10 days after finishing the exams and competitions, we start the festival by a mass and we end it by a mass at the Nairuz. And in this mass I always have the blessing of 5,000 young people in the Cathedral of Zaytun, taking the Holy Communion, attending the Mass with us. All are from the high school level. You can't imagine how much they became more alive. They started to give enthusiasm to their teachers because they want to come and compete. They want to have their church to come to the scene. They started to pull their servants themselves and their teachers to come inside this festival. And we thank God because this made some sort of revival among the high school service in the churches. Therefore, please use this key word, this magic word of competition among the young people. You are going to find something marvelous. They made so many achievements through competition, and this is for sure for the benefit of their benefit of their lives, their spiritual life, and they are growing. And always, in every year, those who are finishing their high school certificate, they start to feel agony, saying, "Oh, Father, what about after going to the university? Are we going to stop this competition? We started the festival for the university students in order to, you know, get them with us all through just 7 years, the high school and the university. Through these 7 years, for sure, he will be committed to the church and he will benefit very much from these studies and competitions." Participation. To arrange such a competition between 5,000 people and 70 churches, we have a very good team that I know none of them, more or less. I only know one of them that's the leader of this team, but for sure this will cause them to work and to grow. One of them, when I asked him to work in Al Ma'adi, before coming, he said to me, "Can you come to open the club?" "Have you a club?" He said, "Yes." I convinced all the priests of Al Ma'adi to utilize a very good area in Kotsika, the church of St. George there, and they said, "Okay, go ahead, Sam. We want to have our young people of our churches." No, the churches are choked, they have no space. To have all our young people to this club and to have programs inside the club all through the summer of the week. I was very glad when I went there and found hundreds of young people coming to the club, and all the priests with me and all the youth leaders, and they started this summer club. It was present 12 years ago, but it was never utilized. One person started that through, you know, the word of competition and through the word of participation. When we asked this young man to participate, he started to give us ideas and to encourage his friends to participate with him, and we have now a good club in this area for the benefit of 6 churches there. All what I meant to say, please don't be individualistic. Give the opportunity for others to work. You are going to see miracles. Miracles. And the work all the time will be widened and growing, not through yourself, but through your self-denial, through your self-disappearance. If you go behind the scene and ask somebody to work, for sure you are going to have a good blessing from this person that he is ready to contribute. Let us therefore have more personal touches, more prayers in our individual and our community life, more preaching, but in an impressive way, and then more participation to ask the young people to contribute. They are going to contribute for sure. This is for their and our benefit and for the building of the kingdom of God. God bless us all, and glory be to God forever. Any discussion? Yeah, right.
Last year, something happened with one of the people in the class. You're very smart. How big is the high school diploma? He just destroyed our
yeah.
And he failed in that year.
Mm-hmm.
He started saying that God doesn't love me, and I'm not going to church and all, so forth. So we went to him to his house and started talking to him, but something he mentioned after lots of discussion, several weeks, that I couldn't answer. He said, "You haven't tried it, so you cannot give me a solution. You haven't tried failing. You haven't failed before, so you won't be experiencing this failing." Of course, you cannot try failing so that you can answer his question, but
yeah.
On the other hand, you have to find a solution for him, or at least convince him that still he has...
The solution is... Failure is not only in exams. In many exams of life, I failed. And I can convince him through this point. I had this experience before, not in the school, but in life, and it's more painful and agonizing. And then, you know, you can lift him up. You can both together go through a process of the work of the Holy Spirit to lift you above. يعني هذا الحقيقة ساعات when we speak to the young people, sometimes you speak to them as teachers or preachers. Now, both of us, especially in the individual work, العمل الفردي, both of us are sitting side by side in front of the Lord asking the blessing of the Lord. You are not above Him. You are not a professor. The only professor in the church is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when you come to speak with Him, lift your heart up, ask the guidance of the Holy Spirit, He'll give you the clue. He'll give you the word to utter. I don't know it. But sometimes it may be as such. You say, oh, you imagine that I hadn't felt? Oh, I suffered a failure once. And don't speak about so many private things, but just to give Him a hint that we are all supposed to fail.
A Christian lady was talking on the radio about experience with others, and she said that she had a friend that lost her mother, and her mother was sick for a long time with cancer, and it was expected that the mother was going to die. I hear this story from Christian radio, that this lady said that I had a friend that she lost her mother, and her mother was sick long time with cancer, so everybody expected that the mother was going to die. And what happened after her mother died?
And then to lift her towards heaven, saying, but there is a positive thing here. She was very agonizing all through the days before. She is now in rest, I'm sure of that. And having the Holy Spirit with you, your words will be convincing. احنا سعيد تعتني انا بقول لك اه يس وي ار فيلينج انا بيكوز اوف يور هي شي ليفت اس بس شي ما هو ذا ريست اند وي كان ذا فور دوت سبيك از اف وي ار وي ار كيلوز اوف كونكريت يعني وي هاف نو سنس انا ما هو واتس ذا بروبلم ان ذير شي از ان هيفن ناو شي ويل نيجلكت يور ويرز اند بروبلي شي مي ات ذا فول ماست جو ثرو go through her feelings, as we said, التوحد مع المخدوم, بكاء مع البافين. She's weeping and you weep with her, and you see, not by tears, but by you know, tears. And then we can lift her. This is what the Lord did. He came down and then He lifted her up. But if I'm going to speak from above, she will never hear me.
I just add one more. This is used in medicine quite a bit. When I was younger, I used to do this. Well, you lost your baby, but I'm going to try to.
But,
make no good. And then you say, oh, I know how you feel. That's also wrong.
You must feel, but.
Also wrong. You say, you must be going through a lot of pain. I cannot imagine the best way because I'm not going through it. I not only sympathize with you, I feel, can I help in any way? And that's all. Later on, the patient or the person will come and say, I've felt so compassionate with me. How can I do to help me now? Yes. Then you can talk.
Sure.
But you cannot just give them all the preaching in the world and analyze and logic and all this business.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
In dealing with young people in Sunday school classes, sometimes I feel because of the American society, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, that it's an individualistic society, somewhat of a me culture, me only, egocentric. And so I find, for example, materialism an obstacle for reaching the young people to come to church. Sometimes intellectual snobbery, financial snobbery.
Mm-hmm.
these are all serious obstacles for the youth, and I was just wondering, now, yesterday you mentioned that we must constructively criticize in the spirit of love, so I'm going to try to do that. But honestly, it seems to me that many of our parents who have immigrated to the country, it seems as though with our success we've become a little more materialistic and a little more concerned for ourselves than we should be.
If the two major points you mentioned are materialism and intellectuality, and these are two components of the human nature, we cannot ignore them. Materialism, that's the body; intellectual, that's the mind. But what you must awake two other components. One can be very easily awake, that's the psyche, the feelings. Nobody has no feelings. And this new culture, as you say, this individualistic culture, as you say, is a very dangerous culture for the happiness and the prosperity of the state. You know, we must speak to the psyche to motivate the emotions and the feelings. And also we must speak to the spirit to motivate the longings to God and to eternity and to metaphysics. It's a great job to do, but through prayer, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can, you know, awake these dormant components of the human nature. They are concentrating upon mind and body. We may concentrate upon psyche and spirit. Day after day, these components are going to be awakened. He will ask, I feel depressed. I feel frustrated. I feel lonely. This is all of you read about here in America, the sense of loneliness. Because there is a feeling that is not satisfied. The psychological needs, they are always stopping at the biological needs. And sometimes the intellectual needs. But what about the psychological, the need to, the sense of belonging, the need to be loved and to love others, the need to be, respected by others. This is the psychological, and then the spiritual need, the need to be forgiven from your sins, the need to be saved from your bonds, the need to eternity and infinity, because inside you there is an infinite thirst. Each person has infinite service inside that cannot be fulfilled except through the Lord. Therefore, you know, we must put our fingers and touch these two delicate points in the American society and in the people around us. And in order to have full humanity, he is now half human, actually. Yes?
It's just that my problem is, the kids would come in and say, I really like what we talked about it and your approach, but I always feel guilty when I leave. When I leave the class. After you're finished, I feel guilty.
Therefore, we give us the sense of guilt without the sense of forgiveness and joy.
That's my impression.
We must, for sure. He must come out of the class, touched by the Lord Himself. Answer saying, I am guilty, Lord. Lord will hug him saying, you are my son, I forgive you everything. I am not a judge, I am a father. Sure, we must give this pleasant and joyful thing. He must leave the class in a very pleasant state, and he must be keen to come next class to enjoy this Lord who is pleasant, lovely and joyful. Yes.
When we're dealing with the other servants, and how do we, like, if you let them do something that you know that you
can
do, but you're trying to delegate the authority,
if you are trying to delegate the authority to some young people,
What happens when they fail?
Well, that is when they fail.
Or don't do it, as you know that you
give them. Or don't do it.
How do you keep from getting
frustrated with the person? You can, and how do you keep the service from failing also?
Yes, I just get you back to the four points of His Grace Bishop Antonius. Tell, participate, and then delegate. Sometimes we delegate and listen. No. It's a process. And be patient. And don't leave the thing to fail. No, participate with him. Participate with her in doing the thing. And after being successful, you succeeded. Now, what is the problem? Please once more, and I leave her. This is the meaning of the word participate. Just work with him, work with her. Tell, that convince her of the idea. Tell, learn, teach. And then participate, work with them, and then delegate them. It's a process. For sure it doesn't appear in one moment. It needs much patience. Yes, my dear.
In your case of talking about praying, you said we need to use more than one hand.
Yes, in praying, when we pray loudly.
I think the patient, the young people need to do the same thing. There is a saying that says, what I hear, I forget. What I see, I remember. And what I do, I know.
Now we have said it is very different. What I hear, I forget. What I see, I know.
I remember.
What
I do, I know.
What I do, I remember. Learning by doing.
Sure.
Well, when he is praying with me, he is doing the prayer.
Right. Teaching.
Teaching, if we have the discussion,
yeah.
He is the maker of the sermon. What is that? He is, لأنه ممكن من بقه ومن كلامه نطلع بحاجاتي. But هو اللي made it. And he learned by doing it. For sure, this is a good muscle. Thank you very much. And you cannot imagine how much we enjoyed our stay with you, and people and the workers for the kingdom, and all what I want to say that I love you very much. Thank you very much. ناخد بريك كده وترجع عشان في بايب ستادي وفي حاجات تاني نبيل زي كده. شو نبيل؟ ماشي؟ كان محضر حاجات حلوة.